grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. From the Gospel for this Sunday, St. Luke chapter 14, verses 10 and 11. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. It doesn't happen very often, but a common theme is found in all three readings from Holy Scripture on this Lord's Day, and that common theme is humility. In the Holy Gospel, the Lord Jesus says, "Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." In the epistle, St. Paul says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love." And in the reading from the book of Proverbs, we find these words: "Do not put yourself forward in the king's presence or stand in the place of the great. For it is better to be told, 'Come up here,' than to be put lower in the presence of a noble." Yes, all three readings for this Sunday invite us to think about humility. But I suspect that there are few things more difficult to talk about, to put into words, than humility. And when I do have to talk about it, preach about it, I often have the feeling that I'm like a blind man trying to talk about colors. There are, of course, many things that can be said about humility, such as the fact that the word humility is related to the Latin word humus, which means the ground, the earth. To be humble has to do with being down to earth, having your feet on the ground. Some time ago, I came across this ponderable definition: humility is telling the truth about yourself, about others, and about God. Evelyn Underhill said, "Patience with ourselves is a duty for Christians and the only real humility. For it means patience with a growing creature whom God has taken in hand and whose completion he will effect in his time and in his way." Much along the same lines, Neville Ward said, "It is part of the Christian life to get used to being a rather unsatisfactory self. It's all never going to come right in time." Well, we could go on and on with ponderable things that have been said about humility. But for now, let's just think about how we can retain some measure of humility. To do that, two things are necessary. Two things. We need to know ourselves, and we need to know God. One of the great teachers of the ancient church, Saint Basil, said this: "The most difficult thing of all seems to be able to know oneself, because not alone does our eye look outwardly and not use its power to look at itself, but our mind also, which is so sharp to see the sins of others, is so slow to see its own sins." And it's only when we see our own sins, our own shortcomings, the evil we have done and the good we failed to do, that you and I can truly know ourselves. To retain some measure of humility, we need to know ourselves, and we need to know God. It was, in fact, a contemporary of Saint Basil, Saint Mark of Egypt, who said, "Keep the humility of the Lord in your heart and never forget it. Keep in mind the great humiliation which the Lord took upon himself because of his ineffable love for us." In saying that, Saint Mark of Egypt was faithfully echoing the teaching of Saint Paul, who, in trying to deal with some squabbling Christians in the city of Philippi, wrote those matchless lines: "Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility count others better than yourselves. Have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not consider equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross." Yes, to maintain some measure of humility, we need not only to know ourselves, but also to know God. God the Son, who humbled himself and who, as an infant, was laid in the cattle's feeding trough, who had nowhere to lay his head and died that shameful and painful death by crucifixion to save us. As Saint Mark of Egypt said, "Keep the humility of the Lord in your heart and never forget it. Keep in mind the great humiliation which the Lord took upon himself because of his ineffable love for us." The humility of the Lord Jesus is seen in his birth, in his life, in his death. And His humility is still seen in the sacrament of the altar. There he comes to us, not in kingly glory, but under the humble forms of bread and wine. It was the great Saint Augustine who asked, "How can it be that Christ gives us his body and blood?" Because of his great humility. For unless he were humble, his body and blood would be neither eaten nor drunk. But here is his humility. For here we eat the bread of angels, as it is written in the Psalms. He gave them bread from heaven. They ate the bread of angels, which means that we eat him on whom the angels are fed eternally, the one who is equal to the Father. So, not only in the manger and on the cross, but also in the Holy Sacrament, we see the humility of God. So if we would be humble, we need to know ourselves as we truly are, as pardoned sinners, and we need to know God the Son, who humbled himself so that you and I might be exalted, might be lifted up eternally. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. And having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten.